Everything's good. Okay, I'm now recording, and I got to record video now. I got to record video for all of our.
Okay. Yeah.
Record to the cloud.
Patreon people.
For the Patreon. Okay, everything's a go. 2024. Hold on. Coffee. Hold on. 2024. Everything's a go. We're a go, everybody.
We were a stop, but
we were a pause. Hey, remember back in the we used to do this show back in the COVID lockdown days, and I was in my different place where my kitchen was in the next room. Well, I guess it is here too. But
yes,
and I would go to the kitchen to make myself a drink, but keep the podcast going.
Dude, it sounded like you were taking a leak every time.
I was like, I don't know,
Robbie tinkling on ice. You know, Robbie Tinkling on Ice is what it really sounded like, but that also sounds like a great title for an ice musical.
It really
Robbie
does.
Tinkling on Ice.
It's Rob Benedict, Tinkling on Ice. And it actually is me.
All of the urine you could hope for on ice, courtesy of Rob Benedict.
Will there be singing? Yes. Dancing? Yes.
There'll be yes.
Will there be actual
mopping?
Actual
yes.
Urine? Yes.
Yes.
It's not for everybody.
It's not a, you don't want to get your front row ticket. I would say get like row six or back,
right.
You know, because there's going to be splatter.
Right. Well, it's a little bit Gallagher.
Says so in the brochure.
It's a little bit like Gallagher, you know, like people in the front row have the you know, the vinyl on or whatever.
The poncho.
The vinyl poncho. That's a great image to start with.
Hey, hey, what's going on? Robin.
Yeah, I thought so. You take a leak on people. You know, for a lot of people, that's a fetish. People pay top dollar to.
You say a lot
get,
of people.
Other people like yourself to tinkle on them.
You see, you got to it before me. I was going to say when you say.
What?
I was going to say when you say a lot of people, you mean yourself.
Oh. Well,
is that was I that now? Is that I know we've asked each other this question again, but it. A lot of people didn't believe your last answer. Have you ever had someone pee on you as a sexual thing?
No, I have not. And I've never even had anybody request it. I've never even had to say no.
Yeah.
I've never had anybody say, hey, here's what I want. This would get me I'm at a 7. I want my engine revving at a 10.
Yeah.
Take a leak on me.
Yeah.
Has never been brought up.
I mean, because it's almost hard to believe because you were single for like, as an adult, for a good 10 years in L.A., you could have had, you've probably had some crazy experiences.
I was kind of a college kid. I mean, I don't know if that's your craziest, certainly my craziest time.
But you'd graduate from college.
I met JC when I was 29.
Okay, so you had 7 years.
And finished college at 22, so I had like 7 years
of
post-college.
Well, you call them the good years.
Yeah. Yeah, I sure do. This marriage has been a miserable sham. No, it was. I hated being single.
Did you?
I was a terrible single guy, man.
Yeah.
I don't date well.
I mean, I don't either.
So
I mean, I don't.
It was not,
I don't meet girls well. You know, I. That's why I got married to the first one that liked me back.
Why? You think I was like going to the Formosa in '95 and really just mopping it up?
Yes.
Yeah.
I do.
No, that's what was going
on. Here's the thing, though.
God, Lord, dude. Everybody, you know, first of all, I'm calling BS because you live in Los Angeles and you know that this is before the internet, before social media.
Yeah.
I'd walk in there and some dude next to me had just gotten a pilot. Like, you know, it was all that.
You're Richard Spate Jr. You're Band of Brothers. Yeah. You're on Cloud 9, top of the world.
This is all pre-Band of Brothers. This is all pre. I was dating JC during Band of Brothers.
Okay, what about.
It's all pre.
Band of Brothers.
Oh,
wasn't
my one line on ER. Yeah, I really I use that.
What about your commercial career?
Nobody wants to hump the commercial guy. Nobody, not even people on the set.
Ooh, just see the Pepsi.
Not even the other actors I'm working with. I'm like, hey,
don't look now.
Call me when you're on a series.
Don't look now. The truck driver from the Pepsi commercials just walked in.
Yeah, I did have one girl. I did have one girl hit on me. For those commercials, actually, I was in Las Vegas, Nevada, shocking, at a buddy of mine's bachelor party. Again, shocking, but one of my conservative Nashville buddies, so a pretty tame event.
Oh, my God.
And
that doesn't sound tame. Conservative Nashville goes to Vegas.
You always think the clean-cut insurance guys are the ones who really tear it up, but we were still pretty nerdy. Anyway, I walked in, and this absolute, at least in my mind, going back 20 years, gorgeous girl at the bar. I leaned past her to order a drink. She goes, "Oh my gosh, you're the Pepsi guy."
That's awesome.
And I go, "Yeah, I am." She goes, "Yeah. Oh my gosh, I watch a ton of football, and you're on every other commercial because those ran a lot during the NFL."
Oh yeah, yeah. You're Mr. Commercial guy. It wasn't just that one.
Wait a minute. Was it Pepsi?
Weren't you in like?
Now I'm trying to think if it was Pepsi. I was also did a bunch of IBM commercials. I did two different campaigns. Two different campaigns, an IBM campaign and Pepsi. And I think actually this was the IBM campaign. So regardless,
when I walked into an audition, a commercial audition, and you were sitting in the waiting room, I turned around and walked out. I couldn't. I was like, this guy's just going to get
it.
That's
not true.
They're handing him.
But anyway, but you should have because it was a waste of your time. Anyway, the point is,
yeah.
Pepsi
guy hit on.
Yeah.
She says, "Are you the Pepsi guy? You're at a bachelor party in Vegas, conservative Nashville."
Yeah, but now we're just at a bar. It's a bachelor party. It's what brought us to Vegas. We're just in a normal bar, and this great looking lady says, "Oh my gosh, I think it's the IBM guy. You're the IBM guy." I'm like, "Yeah." She's like, "Oh, I watch a lot of football, and you're on my TV all the time." And I'm like, "Oh, that's awesome. That's really cool." And she goes. I swear in my mind, and in my mind at the time, she was a 10. She was gorgeous.
Right.
And she goes, "Oh my gosh, this is so awesome. I can't wait to tell my friends I made out with the IBM guy." Like, right out of the gate. And I
Meaning
go.
Meaning we're going to make out tonight. Oh.
She was just, she had let it, the decision had been made.
Oh my God, that is bold.
I know. And I said to her, "Well, sadly, for this situation, ba-ba-da," and I held up the hand with the wedding ring.
Oh, you were married at the time.
I was married, yes. And I was like, "I am not available. However, I'm buying you a drink." And I brought my buddies over, like, "Hey, this lady was willing to make out with me." And they're like, "Wow, she must not have known you long." Anyway, we had a good laugh. She was really a good sport. We bought her a round of drinks and went our merry way. But JC knows that story. Cause I'm like, "Oh man, my one moment of greatness. I had one shot to capitalize from being on TV for one moment in time. My wife, you could care less if I'm on TV or not," which is really what you want in a spouse. You want the spouse that would love you if you're a garbage man. However, every now and then it's nice to remind them, "You know, I'm not an actual garbage man. I actually do every now and then do cool stuff." And she's like, "Yeah, cool. Would you take the garbage out?" Like, "Sure. Yeah, I will."
I love that you were like, I probably in that situation, like that sort of thing happens to you. That never happens to me. Like you put yourself down. And appreciate it. You're a humble guy. You're too humble for yourself because you have a way with people. You have a gift with people that maybe since you're married, it's easier to access that. But like, you know, people they like what you're serving. And you know, you got to warm up to me a little bit. You know what I mean? Like sometimes my first impression isn't who I am. It's more like the second time you hang out with me and I'm halfway through a story. You're like, "You know, this guy's actually cool. You did that with me."
Are you talking about like co-ed crowd?
I'm taking co-ed crowd, but really anybody. Really anybody. But you,
okay.
I know some of the women you dated. You dated some very, you dated one friend of ours that to me was unattainable hot. And you dated her. You're Richard Spate. You walk in the room and you're like, "I don't know. Oh, shucks. Oh, gee. Hey, guys, come over here. This girl's going to make out with me. Let's sit and chat with her for 4 hours." Like, I would have been like, you want to do it with me? Oh, that's crazy. And I would walk away. And
you would have walked. Why would you have walked away?
Because I'm a nervous.
She was friendly.
You know me. You say you were bad with women. I was like,
I'm bad with
women. I was really, like, I couldn't do it.
Yeah, you know that story I'm telling you was me at 30 or 31. Not me at 18,
right,
19.
Right, right, yeah.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
18 and 19, I was the worst. You know what qualified? I am lucky that I have some really good female friends that I'm still friends with, a lot of whom came to our show at the Exit Inn, who are like my buddies.
Uh-huh.
And so, like, I had one date to Barbie's wedding. My oldest sister got married when I was a senior in high school.
Oh man, that was fun.
A couple years later, Lindy got married, and I took one of my best friends, Edith Trost. Edith was my date to both my sister's weddings. Total friend, still great friends, female friends. So I had some good female friends when I was young, mm-hmm. from doing theater and hanging out at the all girls school doing theater.
Yeah, me
and
too.
That part was great. I could be I had friends girls, and that was actually easy for me. Maybe because I had two sisters. I know you have sisters. I think it helps a lot when you're navigating just female friendships. Mm-hmm. But in terms of segueing a friendship into a dating opportunity, the worst. Mm-hmm. I'm the worst. Mm-hmm. So I ended up dating somebody who would have a crush on me. That was the only requirement. Oh, you have a crush on me? Mm-hmm. Great, we're a couple.
Right.
You know, like it was just, there was no picking and choosing. There was no like being, selective, you know, like, uh-huh. I was like, well, you know, let me date a couple of people and see which one of these really is a meaningful relationship. You'd be like, oh, you like me. Great. Let's date.
Right.
Which is not a great for anybody out there. You want to sort of hold yourself to a slightly higher standard, unless the person who wants to date you is a home run.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, it was just, I look back, I got lucky that the girls who had crushes in me that I dated were great people. Like I dated some really cool.
Yeah. People. You're still friends.
But
with
I
a lot
was
of
never
ex.
A, I think I'm friends with everybody. And so I think my typical thing with dating was we would date and then we'd realize there's one girl who they didn't go so great with, but the rest of them, it was like, I guess we're just not meant to be a long-term couple. Okay.
Yeah, that's
and
mature.
That was, it would just sort of, it would just ramp down. It would ramp up.
Yeah.
And then ramp back down.
That's mature.
You know,
that's a mature way. I was a late bloomer. I was immature and I was a late bloomer.
You and me, dude. I was a very late bloomer. Very late.
And you know, and it, and so for me, it worked out better. I didn't like that feeling. And when I connected with someone, I would connect hard. And, you know, I only had a friend in high school who was kind of off again, on again, off again, who was a friend. But,
Dating mean you dated a girl off and on in high school?
Yeah, but it wasn't even, we didn't even go to prom together. I went to prom with my other girlfriend who was mostly a friend, but I was never good out in the world, out in the wild, and in college, you know, I dated a few people, but it was nothing crazy. So I'm talking about like having a girlfriend, really truly. Molly, who I married, was really my first girlfriend. That was really like,
right,
you know, I mean, I dated another girl right before her, but it was just never that serious. Anyway, that's what worked for me. I was like, oh, this is, I like, you know, we really, really bonded. And so I was like, ooh, this is comfortable.
I always think you and Molly, too, were a good couple. I mean, I obviously knew Molly pretty well when you guys were, I wasn't part of the young Rob generation, but I always felt like you guys were a good yin and yang. You know, you're not the same. You're not operating.
Right.
This, you're not occupying the same energy space.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, totally. We were very different. But also, at the same time, we had a connection that, you know, is that, you know, one of those once in a lifetime connections, and we really connected.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm echoing that. Yeah. I think it was, look at your kids. Your kids are great.
Yeah.
So,
and
obviously,
Molly and I still are great friends, you know, because I think
you're a good divorce people.
I think we recognize that, you know, we have this connection, then we don't want that friendship to go away. And I feel very proud of that.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
I just feel like dating is so, I mean, I think about what it would be like to date in the digital era.
Yeah.
And just, dude, I cannot imagine. And it's not me putting myself down. I just think that would be a level of shitty for me.
Yeah.
Trying to, and again, not throwing myself into the bus. I'm really not. I'm not doing the, oh, but I live on planet Earth and I have mirrors in the home. And I know, especially in my young days, I know like where I fell into like, there are gorgeous dudes, and you and I have friends who are great looking dudes. And then there's like, I'm in the solid like middle category with a bunch of people. I'm like, hey, you kind of got to.
Yeah, but your
personality. No, my personality helps. My personality, like if you think I'm funny, that's going to go a long way. My point being, if you're just doing the app and it's just a still photo of you.
What?
And your stats, which I assume that's what it looks like.
Yeah, me too. I don't know. I've never seen. I would have to
I'm guessing it looks like a classified ad, but I don't know.
I'd have to doctor up my
but
stats.
It would just blow.
Yeah.
Because it's like,
I'd have to lie about
at
my height.
5'8", Richard yeah. has graying temples and spotty beard.
Right.
Go but, on.
Yeah.
He's freelance, so he doesn't have consistent employment. Mm-hmm.
You know, mine would say yeah, at 6 feet but, tall, Rob has...
Yeah, you're a liar, though. But that's the thing, is you'd lie, and then the date would happen, and it would all fall apart.
No, either that or, you know...
Wouldn't you be worried about that? If like?
Yeah, I'd say five, 6¾. But hoping for a growth spurt. Then they go, okay, he's funny.
Chicks, I tell you what, chicks dig fractions. As soon as you start talking in fractions, they're like, ooh.
This is why I was no good. This is why I was no good. Look, you've got people walking around who make clothing with your face on it. So I think just to say, like, I know I'm an ugly guy. Like, I just don't think that's...
Dude, I didn't say I was an ugly guy. Like I said, I didn't go like, I'm an ugly guy. I said... I know the difference between, I've been with buddies where girls have elbowed me out of the way to go, your friend's gorgeous. You're like, you know, I have those friends, so do you. And so.
Yeah, and I'm always like, what about me?
I feel very comfortable in my lane, but my lane wouldn't serve well in a digital dating landscape in the app world. I don't think that would be my strong suit.
Yeah, I don't know. Unless they were looking for, you know, actors. Who have been?
I've seen plenty of
Pepsi
clothes
guy.
With your face on it. By the way, there's a whole
line and what is
of Rob
and what's the
Perth
line
shirts.
Underneath it? And underneath it, what does it say?
Rob hates Perth.
And
but it's you on
yes.
it.
Yes, and then there's another one you took a picture of the other day. And what did it say? Something like "fuck this
F
guy"
Rob or something.
Yeah, I was like, "fuck this
exactly.
guy." Fuck. No, it said "fuck Chuck." Was the character I played on Supernatural. Yeah. So that's fun.
Yeah.
But anyway, look.
Don't you wish we could go back? I wish that the person who said, oh, I'm going to make out the IBM guy, I wish she'd call into our show. I wish like we get like 20 years later, she's married with a family, and she'd go, yeah, that was a...
I never
she'd
said that.
That was my dark days of alcoholism. I was blackout drunk.
I was high on mescaline.
I thought you were Bill Gates, you know. When I said the IBM guy, I thought you were the IBM guy because you're such a nerd.
That's funny.
Oh well, probably the odds are she's not listening, you know. Oh well.
Well, you never know. You can a boy can dream.
A boy can dream.
Yeah, sometimes I wish I could go back.
I remember thinking that I was really bummed, like I had so many girls in my corresponding grade at high school were just knockouts and super smart and super fun and funny. And I remember at the time, obviously, I wanted to date the entire grade. They were all, I literally, you know how like certain classes are a different caliber of people. We just had the nicest group of people, and they were all also gorgeous. It was a 1-2 punch. And I never had a girlfriend in the bunch out of my grade. And at the time, I'm like, what a bummer. And now that I'm older and all grown up, it's nice because we're all still friends. So I didn't ruin anything.
That's great.
By trying to date him.
Yeah, you're fascinating like that, man. I don't know very many. I'm not in touch with very many people I went to high school with.
My high school years were I as much as I enjoyed college, I made better friends in high school. College was a different kind of experience. Being in theater school and in a big city,
yeah,
you know, Los Angeles, big school. Really had some, still have some great buddies, Dr. Goldfarb. You know, Jim Hanna, some,
right.
Our
tactical
friends, but
yeah,
but nonetheless, not a ton. My real closer paisans were high school based.
God, I always forget you're bilingual.
Yeah, I know.
Is paisan, does paisan just mean buddy? I hear paisan all the time when people are doing Italian accent imitations, but I never quite knew what paisan was. That's just my
paisan.
Anyway, paisan, you're in high school. Yeah, I'm trying to think. Like, I don't really go on Facebook very much. I loved my high school time and had some great friends, but I really only still keep touch with Kurt. Who's the designer that, you know...
Oh, that's Oscar's dad.
Oscar's dad, yes, who does all the covers of the Loudon Swain albums, the last two albums, and the posters we do. He does all that stuff. That one in Nashville that you like a lot, that's all Kurt.
That was good.
But Kurt and I were, like, best friends since birth. Like, we're born on the same day, grew up two blocks from each other, so I don't consider my high school friend so much. Anyway.
Well, two of my closest friends, we met first day of first grade. So like, I know you're talking about.
Right,
I have that group too.
But then, you know, there's...
And that's not to say I don't have friends from college, but I just... Yeah. You seem to have a very tight Northwestern group of people you hang with. And I don't necessarily have that USC. I have a really solid USC text chain of, like, my non-drama buddies, and we were all football fans, and we sort of keep in touch with each other that way.
Yeah, and I have got that with, see each other much. Like, my roommates from college. We're mostly in contact just in a text chain. I saw them all last year, but it had been a while. But yeah. my other groups of friends are all Northwestern, have a link to Northwestern, but they're not necessarily all Northwestern people. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like when I hang out with my friend Scott and Josh and those guys, Josh went to Northwestern, but Devin and my friend Molly and Scott, they didn't, you know, but it's like, there's a connection right there.
Sure. The connective tissue is still Northwestern.
Yeah.
Though,
yeah,
right?
Totally. But, it's a cool school. It's a good school. But it's funny, I still have loyalty to Missouri, you know, like you do to,
sure.
like you do to Nashville.
Oh yeah, I love being from Nashville. A lot of civic pride.
Yeah. I have state pride, but not
state pride too. Yeah, for sure. You know,
but not necessarily right now, not with its political views right now. But where I come from in Missouri is like the Austin of Missouri. It's a college town. So it was,
yeah, but you got to assume that there's, you know, I don't agree with a lot of Tennessee politics, but I agree with a lot of people who disagree with Tennessee politics. You know, there's a lot of Tennesseans out there who think the way I think.
Yeah.
And I think that's important that they stay loyal to Tennessee in the same way you stay loyal to Missouri.
Yeah.
For this, because you don't want everybody who disagrees with the stoic establishment to then just clean their hands of the whole thing and walk away, because then you're just basically letting them win.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, at the sake of sounding really weird and patriotic, it's a beautiful country, and Missouri is a beautiful state. It's got so much to offer, and I feel like Missouri gets kind of like passed over as like, one of those sort of blah, you know, Kansas, Nebraska, like the Midwest states. You're just like, meh.
Well, what a way to throw Kansas and Nebraska under the bus.
You know,
I want to sincerely apologize to all our Nebraska and Kansas.
No. I'm saying that I feel like
fans, especially the band Kansas,
and the band Nebraska. No. I'm saying that people lump all of us together and go, you know, all the Midwest states, I feel like we're all viewed that way. Oklahoma and Nebraska and Iowa and Missouri and Arkansas, Kansas.
Oh, I don't know. I think people, I mean, I know what you're saying, because you don't have like a specific, like the South or the Northeast.
We're not quite South. We're not quite North. We're Midwest, you know, but we feel South when you're there. People talk with a Southern accent, but you're from the South and you don't necessarily consider me from the South. It's like that. And you and I are like, if you look at the map, we're right next to each other.
I know. No, you don't seem Southern like my Southern buddies.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But even you don't seem Southern to you like your Southern buddies. You don't have an accent that you've ever had to deal with.
No, and it's weird. It's weird. I think it's because I was raised on TV. I don't know. My mom does. I don't. My brother and I slide into it when we're home, you know?
He sounds very Minnesotan to me now.
And now he sounds really... We're both just... We're kind of minor birds. We both sort of... You know, we're like, what was the Woody Allen movie where he like morphs into where?
Zelig.
Yeah, we're like Zelig. We just kind of become those people. I will be Scottish by the time I die.
By the way, I watched, you talk about Kansas. I watched the Kansas documentary yesterday.
What? I didn't know there was a Kansas documentary.
I didn't either.
Supernatural.
I follow
the
band Kansas on Twitter.
Okay.
I follow the band Kansas on Twitter, and they tweeted out, hey, if you guys haven't seen our documentary, here it is. And it's like a Sony Pictures documentary. They literally sent out the link, and I was doing something outside, and I clicked the link and just sat down for 2 hours and watched it on my phone. It was great.
Wow.
It was great.
Wow. Rich, the kids need
and
to
for
eat.
Anybody, for anybody who's a Supernatural fan, you should watch this documentary, because it's obviously the unofficial theme song of the show, Carry On.
Do
My
they
Way
talk
Son.
About the show?
No, but they talk about, like, the formation of the band is amazing. How they got signed is just fantastic.
Wow.
Everything about their journey was just fantastic, and they're so good. And then their songwriting process and then how they came across that song, it's just fascinating. It's
great.
It's absolutely worth a watch. Anybody who's, if you're a music documentary lover, which I am, I rock and roll documentaries.
It's my favorite thing in the world.
Same. And so I love that. I love the origin stories of great bands. And then they are just such a, you know, not an LA band, not a New York band, not a London band. They're just in the middle of nowhere, you know, found a way to
they were really from Kansas?
Plant their flag on the landscape of American rock music.
Were they really from Kansas?
Phenomenal. Yeah, really from Kansas.
Really?
And the dudes, it's really worth watching. You guys should.
Wow.
Especially, again, Supernatural fans who have just grabbed onto that song as their own. You owe it to that band to watch their origin story. It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
How many years in the making was that song before it landed in the lap of Supernatural? A perfect fit for the show. But
yeah,
that song, that band has had many lives.
I feel like we're in trouble a little bit. You're like,
well,
it's a great movie. And listen, if you call yourself a Supernatural fan, you get your butt out. You watch this documentary.
You know how I get, Robbie. I get real serious about stuff. No, you always say that, like, hey, listen to your doctor. Or that bit you do where I'm yelling at people about taking medical advice.
You're talking to someone who's ill and in the hospital who can barely walk. And you're like, you listen to me. You sit up in your bed and you listen to this. Listen to that doctor of yours.
You stand up when I'm talking to you.
You're funny. You're funny. Anyway, I think you got it. I think you got it, Rich. I think you still got it. But, you know, here's what I wish. I wish I could go back in time knowing what I know now, but have the same things happen to me. In other words, I don't regret any bit of my relationship with Molly. We had two beautiful kids that I wouldn't replace for the world. You know what I mean? So I still want that to happen. I wish I had like 2 years just knowing what I know now. But you know what I mean?
I mean, I think everybody has that, like, if I knew then what I know now, oh, Boise. But, you know, I don't know. I know what you mean. Like, I certainly would. I think I'd go back and make some choices differently. But, hey, the choices you make have landed us in this moment. Yeah. Because any micro change to your journey ends up being a macro change to your destination.
Right.
So,
right.
True. You know.
All right. Well, then I choose to stay where I am.
Here we are. We don't have a choice. But we do have a choice about one thing, and that is, do we or do we not let people poop on us? Robbie, have you ever let anybody poop on you?
No, the answer to that question is a no. I've never...
You took a pause there. There was a bit of a pause. No, that was not editorially there. That was Rob thinking.
That pause is the pause I give someone when they ask me a ridiculous question.
What?
Yeah.
That was not a ridiculous question.
It was.
You asked me about the urine. You asked, and I gave you an honest answer.
I had had someone poop on me, do you think that when you said, no, I've never had someone urine on me, don't you think I would have said, well, I've had someone poop on me?
I don't know, because I feel like you might want to keep that close to the vest, not literally because it's gross, but like, you know, intellectually close to the vest.
Now I just realized somebody's going to...
And I just pry it out of you because I'm a good interviewer. I'm the Larry King of the two of us.
You are the Larry King of the two of us. And I'm the Rob Benedict of the two of us.
I feel like you, for all of you, you're sort of like, oh, Rich, you had a life. I feel like you're probably dirtier. Like you probably get into some stanky ass crap.
Sure, I'm that guy. I'm the guy that you'd assume is like sweet and aw shucks, but actually in the bedroom is...
No, you're super dirty. I mean, like, you know, I know you've thrown a lot of naked parties and stuff in your youth. So I feel like you'd be the one that like, hey, Robbie, do that thing where you poop on people. You're like, all right. Or, hey, on a lark, can I poop on you? Yeah, man. You know, I feel like that's how it could play out. Even if it wasn't like a girl and it wasn't sexual, it was like as a prank, like, hey, this would be really funny. You'll lay down and I'll poop on you. And
it was somebody drive by. Oh, I thought it was only sexual.
Oh, no, that guy got hit by a poop truck.
Oh, in that case, I thought it was only sexual. In that case, oh, yeah. We used to have shit parties. It was great. No, I never have, never been asked, never done it, never want to, never will.
I'm sure that somebody in our listening umbrella is a probably a fan of that somewhere, even they don't like to admit it. And I got to tell you, I feel like...
We just lost a viewer.
It's a miswiring. That doesn't make sense to me, but that's just me. You know, I just feel I'm not going to judge the poop community.
No, it just doesn't make sense as a thing for enjoyment. But hey, you do you. If you're the Larry King of the two of us, then I think I...
You do do.
You do do.
There's the title of the podcast.
You do do.
You do do.
Is it the letter U or Y-O-U?
I think it's got to be Y-O-U.
And then...
D-O space D-O-O.
I know, Ed.
You do do.
I had to think about how to spell do-do, and that is how you spell it. That's the right answer.
You do do, dude. Well, no, because we're not saying do-do. We're saying you do, like the verb, and then do, like dung.
Right, right, right.
You do do.
Right, you're right, you're right. Consequently, that's also how you spell do-do.
I thought do-do was D-O-O hyphen D-O-O.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
All right.
We're going to need a very... This is when you want Damian Lewis on speed dial to get our bright British friends in here to answer these grammatical questions that, you know, the Brits have already nailed down.
What did you guys talk about on your podcast? Well, how to spell doo-doo.
Interesting thing. Interesting question, Monsignor. It was a...
Oh, Grandma, don't listen to that episode.
Yeah.
Oh, Nana.
Skip that one.
Not that one, Nana. I'm the Ed McMahon. If you're the Larry King, I'm the Ed McMahon.
Yes.
You're correct, sir.
That was my Ed McMahon imitation.
Well, my Ed McMahon imitation is actually an imitation of that as from the
Phil Hartman.
Phil Hartman doing him, yeah.
Yeah, no. Yes.
You are correct. Yes, you are correct, sir. Yeah. He was so good.
He was so great. I love
Phil Hartman. Was so funny.
I introduced the comedy of Phil Hartman to our friends Drake and Meg from the Winchesters when I was down there. They were not familiar with Phil Hartman. And so I literally just started sending them random clips from Phil Hartman's work.
That's great.
On SNL.
That's great.
Because I'm like, man, this generation needs to know Phil Hartman.
What did you send them? Caveman Lawyer?
Obviously Caveman Lawyer. Colon Blow. The commercial for Colon Blow.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's classic.
The Matt Foley van down by the river because he's the dad in that.
Oh, right. So good.
And also, Faux Buddies Nault, when he wins the Oscar, it's the Miranda Richardson episode where, dude, if you haven't seen this one in a while, it's genius. It's on a set and it's Phil Hartman. And they just came back from lunch and they're doing a dramatic scene and he keeps forgetting his line while she's trying to cry. And it is, first of all, it's a very long sketch because they don't really do those anymore. Like it was a very long set, very industry specific, but man, it's funny. And he's like, don't you know it's Faux Buddies Nault? Cut. He said, no, he said Faux Buddies. Did I? Okay. What do you have for lunch? Like, meanwhile, she's trying to get herself all worked up for emotion. I won't sit here and ruin it. Everybody needs to go watch the It's Faux Buddies Nault sketch, SNL, Phil Hartman.
Faux Buddies?
Yeah, because he keeps messing up the, I don't remember what the actual sketch is called, but it's Faux Buddies Nault.
Okay.
I just find it, dude. I've got it right here.
Okay.
I don't need you.
If only we had some kind of invention where you could actually send it to me.
I know.
If only there was a way. Get on that. Hey, so Richard.
Yeah.
This is our first podcast in the new year.
The nude year.
In the new year, that was the invitation to one of my naked parties.
It was
a New Year's party, and it was called Nude Year, and everybody arrived naked.
Those are the kind of parties you used to throw. God willing, you'll throw them again.
That is not the parties we used to throw. You like to think so.
Yes, they are the parties you used to throw. I know I wasn't there.
No, we just all got...
But I know.
We just all got, you know, so high that we decided to take our clothes off and get in the pool.
Right. That's the kind of parties you used to throw. It's exactly what I just said, and you're like... You know, it's not like we got high and got in the hot tub.
Threw naked parties.
Yes.
That's not accurate. That's fake news. You're just trying to get more viewers to read your article, which is false. It has...
I don't...
What are you doing right now? We're trying to do...
Looking up the Hartman thing.
Oh, that's cool. Do later. Dude, I'd rather have your attention
on you.
I know, but it's
all right.
It's a pet peeve when I can't get your eyes.
All right. Well, it's Phil Hartman, though, man. You know what I mean? Like, we all love Phil Hartman.
It was anyway, Phil Hartman. It's nothing against Phil Hartman, man. It's nothing against Phil Hartman.
Back to your nude party.
My nude party. No, that's not what it was. But if it was at New Year's, it would be Happy Nude Year or something. You missed it. I threw you a ball and you missed it because you're looking at your phone.
Man, I remember going to a party one time in Southern California before I was married. And anytime people ended up naked somewhere, I was not there. And there was all this gorgeous people and they all ended up naked in a hot tub. And I was playing tennis. we were playing drunk tennis. And then we came back and we're like, wow, everybody's nude in the hot tub. All you hot people are nude in the hot tub. And they're like, yeah, we sure are. Keep walking, Junior.
Nobody said keep walking, Junior.
I never got. They did with their eyes. Believe me.
In your head, you're like, I'm gonna keep walking. This is.
No, man. I was leering at them. I was like, hey, I'm all about the nudes. Bring on the nudes. But I was not.
That happened to me at my wedding.
Soiree.
That happened at my wedding. You know, I was 24 years old. We were all just fresh out of college.
God,
and
you were young.
And everybody, it was hot in central Illinois. And we said goodbye to everybody. Everyone's drunk into the night. Say goodbye, got in a car and drove away to the hotel. And everybody stayed. It was at her house where they had a pool. And everybody stayed, ended up getting naked and jumping in the pool. And I missed the whole thing, but that was like the big story.
Nice.
Yeah.
That is a big story.
I don't know what it was. There must have been. I would say Paul probably. Paul usually was the instigator.
Well, Hank, you know.
But Paul would be like, well, if all of us are just standing around, I don't know why we wouldn't take our pants off. Come on now, Bobby.
Let's give these pants a breather. They've been working all night.
Let's get in the hot tub. I didn't bring my suit, but that's all right. We don't need suits.
I'm going to be wearing H2O shorts.
And his superpower was the seducer, so everybody would go, okay. So,
but if Paul wanted to poop on you, you'd let Paul poop on you.
No. No, no. No, Larry King.
I hear you saying no. I'm not denying your no. I'm just, I don't know if I, you know, it's a scenario. We don't know.
You're not denying my no.
I'm honoring your no with I don't know.
What if I did like pooping people pooping on me and you're like, yuck, and I said don't yuck my yum.
Yeah, that's what you would say. If you liked people pooping on you, I would monetize that. I would find a way to capitalize on that fetish of yours, and we would like
you would.
We'd have bring Bobby a brown present booth at a convention, and I would sell T-shirts and snacks, laxatives, and you would be inside, you know, doing what you do.
Well, that will never happen. Incredibly gross. It's hard to even.
I know this is not podcast material. This is not the kind of thing we should put in a podcast.
No, and talk about it for 20 minutes.
No, it's a terrible idea.
But it's hard. Once you bring it up, you can't not keep bringing it up. That's what's hard about it.
You're the one who started. You started with the urine thing. You started this podcast asking about urine. Yeah, you did.
No, you did.
And so the fact that it has taken a
you said something
dark turn,
about Rob on ice.
Yeah, you on ice. I had a classy ice musical pitch that you turned into some like Golden Shower Tinkle Fest.
You had Wiz on Ice.
I don't know.
What was it Wiz on Ice? What was the name of your?
Yeah, it was not. I don't know. We can't rewind and do that. We're live. We can't rewind. We can't go back and find
no,
out.
No, we can't.
We just don't know.
I like Wiz on Ice, by the way. If my name,
it's
my
like, it's like who's on first, but different.
If my nickname was Wiz. wait, we need to get Wiz Khalifa. The rapper Wiz Khalifa.
Old Wiz Khalifa. Well, Robert, we've done a solid 45.
Okay.
And I think that's an entertaining block of time for people. I think they have a lot to process here. Well, think about. And some of them probably canceled their subscription after this puerile exploration of proclivities that don't apply to us, but apply to some people.
I disagree.
We're not judging.
I think people...
We are not judging. Well, one of the two of us is not judging. I'm not judging.
I think we both did great. I think that people enjoyed it. I think the humor lied in us cracking each other up with puerile humor. I have no regrets. If I could go back knowing what I know now, this is what we learned. If I could, knowing what I know now, I wouldn't have done anything different.
There you go. Embracing it with both hands. I love it, Robbie.
It's like closing doors, you know. Sliding doors.
Sliding doors. Okay, that makes more sense.
Sliding
doors. Just the act of closing a door didn't seem all that strong as an analogy, but I get you on the sliding doors. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for you to unslide your door and go out into the world now that you've listened to this podcast. Wiser? Sure. Entertained? You betcha. And, you know, comforted by the words of a Rob and a Rich who are there in the dark of night and in the blustering winds and the downpour of life. We're always here to offer you sage, meaningless advice. And that's what we're here for. And that's what we stand for. And we're proud of it.
We come with a message. I feel good about where it all went. I think we all learned something.
And that message is... at lunch, be back at noon.
back in five.
All right, everybody. Have a great week. Robert, have a great week.
All right.
Oh, Robbie, have a great week. A lot going on. You think this podcast will get out this week? I mean, are you going to just like spin this around and drop it?
Yeah.
Like a poop? Nice.
You okay. Did. That's you. That was you. You did that. That was all you on your own.
Huh? No, you edited that in. I didn't say that.
All right.
All right, Robbie, have a good one. We'll talk later. Everybody, happy 2024.
Happy 2024, everybody. Golden Globes. We didn't even do the Golden Globes, man.
We'll talk about it next week. A lot to talk about because nobody gives a crap except you. And we'll discuss next week. Ladies and gentlemen, happy new year. Adios.